heaven is just as real as here. And if you know somebody who's saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb that's left this world, they're this moment in the presence of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved by grace through faith, you'll have the opportunity to see them again. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you like me, you have somebody you'd like to see that you know is in heaven? Amen. We're going to see them. It's real, just as real as we're standing here today. And it's this life is short, eternity is long and sweet. And I'm so thankful for the promises of heaven. If you take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. We're looking and working through characters of the Bible, and we're going to spend some time looking at the life of Jacob tonight. Later his name becomes Israel, and his life cannot be summed up in one message, but we can cover a lot of it in this message I hope to share with the Lord's help tonight. Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. We'll begin reading here in verse number 10. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now we meet Jacob at an interesting moment in his life. He's found himself in a moment of real desperation. He's running from home, and he's found a real rocky spot at the closing of the day, a place where he pillows his head and has an interesting dream and a meeting with God. And he there promises that he'll serve God with his life, and God does a great work in his heart. He calls the name of that place Bethel. In verse number 19, the Bible says, he called the name of that place Bethel. The word Bethel literally means the house of God. And it was in Bethel that God did a mighty work in Jacob's life. Let's see for just a moment as I tell you the story with the Lord's help, how Jacob gets to Bethel. Now, Jacob was born to Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah were blessed with two boys, twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau was an interesting guy. The Bible says he was a hairy man. He liked to deer hunt. He reminds me a lot of me. Esau was kind of a man's man and choice of his father, Isaac. But he had a twin brother. His twin brother's name was Jacob. It's interesting. They called him Jacob because Jacob, when he was born, he was the second born of the twins. And when he was born, as he was being born, he had his hand on Esau's heel. And they called him Jacob, which literally means heel grabber. And the name Jacob soon becomes a name that represents a con artist. A heel grabber is a con artist, somebody that tries to play you and pivot and make his way his own way and not always the right way. Jacob and Esau are born to Isaac and Rebekah. And God has told Isaac that of your two sons, the chosen of your two sons is unusual. He says the younger will be over the older. The older will serve the younger. And God says and makes very plain to Isaac, the blessing of God that has been passed from your father Abraham is to be passed not to Esau, your oldest son, not to the one that you really want to choose, but the one I've chosen. His name is Jacob. Now, Jacob's mother loved Jacob more than she loved Esau. By the way, if moms and dads pit themselves against one another and show favoritism over one child and the other, it causes great problems. And in this household, there was a big mess. If you start to show favoritism or you begin to live in opposition to one another as a married couple, beware. Beware. God wants something different. And your choices and your preferences are not healthy and not wholesome for your family. So Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah, Isaac begins to get a little concerned and worried. Isaac has lost his eyesight, and he's in a low spot, a despairing time in his life, depressed and concerned and feeling like he's going to die at any moment. And so he disobeys God and calls for Esau, his favorite son. He says, Esau, what I want you to do, you know how much I love that deer that you kill, that venison, and you know how much I like how you fix it. He said, boy, I want you to go out and I want you to kill a deer and I want you to bring that, I want you to prepare that meat and I want you to bring it to me and we'll eat together and I'm going to bless you. Well, Isaac was in the wrong because it wasn't his place to pass on God's blessing and God had already told him to pass it on to Jacob, but Isaac was going to do what he wanted to do anyway. If you do what you want to do in spite of God's clear command, you are going to make a mess, my friend. You may want it, but you won't want it for long. You may think you need it, but you don't, because if you move and act outside of the clear teaching of God and His Word, you're making a big mistake. Isaac sends Esau off. The whole time, Rebekah is listening. I don't want you to get the wrong idea that Rebekah was some type of spiritual giant. Rebekah says, your dad has done the wrong thing and you need to be blessed and you deserve to be blessed. You're my favorite. She says to her son Jacob, she says, Jacob, I tell you what, do. Go out and get one of those goats and we'll kill it. I'll fix it. And you can tell your dad that you're Esau and you can receive the blessing. So they do just that. How you can mess up a goat and make it taste like a deer, I'm not sure. But Rachel managed somehow to do so. And she fixed the meat, and Jacob, being a soft kind of guy, covered his arms in the hair that was taken off of the goat. And he goes into his father while Esau's out hunting. And tries to disguise his voice and say, look, this is your son Esau, father. Bless me. Bless me. Folks, if you try to get God's blessing, lying and cheating, you are nowhere close to God's blessing. And Jacob received the blessing of God because he was a child of God and he was chosen of God, not because he stepped in front of his father and lied and cheated and deceived. But he goes before his father, and his father blesses him and says, I'm passing on this blessing. Now, it was Jacob's blessing to have anyway. And these folks, the whole family, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, acting in the flesh, they went after what they wanted. They got what God had planned. But by cheating and scheming and going around doing it the wrong way, they also brought to their family a lot of grief. As a matter of fact, Jacob receives the blessing. Esau comes back in, being the kind of man he is. He's mad and he swears that he's going to kill Jacob. Rebekah, Jacob's mother, says, "Come here, buddy. Esau's so angry. I fear for your life. I'll tell you what you need to do." I said, you need to take your stuff, what you can. You need to get out of Dodge. You need to get out of town. You need to go away. She says, "I want you to go down to a place called Haran. My brother Laban's there, and if you go to Haran and meet up with my brother Laban, then in Haran you can go and give Esau some time to blow off some steam. And you can come back and hopefully everything will be just fine." Jacob walks out of the presence of his mother with what he can carry, and he begins the journey to Haran to meet his uncle Laban. He's deceived and cheated and left, and everybody's done the wrong thing trying to get what they wanted, and Jacob makes his way to a stony, rocky place as the sun begins to set. And it's there that we find our text. It's there we find our text. Jacob had got to a place where he had sinned. He'd done the wrong thing. It's his first night away from home. It's his first time going somewhere. His life has changed drastically. No doubt lots going on in his mind and his heart. And at Bethel, God meets with Jacob. It's a very bitter moment leading up to Bethel. But God does a work in Jacob's heart at Bethel. Let's see what it is. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 28, Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there, verse 11, all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." What happens to Jacob? In a time of need, he meets up with God, and God makes himself real to Jacob. I want to make an emphasis for just a minute about this place of Bethel. Quite honestly, I have a number of places that I can think of that are Bethel times and Bethel moments and Bethel experiences in my life where when I needed him the most, God proved himself faithful. It's interesting to me and it's wonderful. It's a blessing. Many of the Bethel experiences of my life began right here in Chilhowee Baptist Church as a teenager. When God did a work in my heart, when God began to show me his way, when God proved himself faithful, God taught Jacob a lot at Bethel. The first thing God taught Jacob at Bethel was that Bethel was a place of prayer to God. Jacob understood. Now, he'd heard his father pray, and he'd heard stories about the faith of Abraham. He'd heard stories about how God had worked, and he'd heard stories about how God would work and the promises that God, the covenant that God had made with Abraham to bless him and bless his seed. And he'd heard the story how Isaac, his father, had been carried up on that mount to be sacrificed, and God provided himself a lamb. And he'd heard these stories of the faith of people. But it wasn't until Bethel that Jacob, for the first time, realized that Jehovah God was his God and that he could call on him in prayer and God would hear and answer him. I don't know about you, but I remember when I got saved. It's a Bethel place. I can take you to the spot. The spot's not as important as the fact that Jesus made himself real to me and I accepted the free gift of salvation. It's over here on Old Stage Road. I'd heard my friends talking about how they'd been saved, how that God had washed them and they were clean and God had changed their life. They'd gotten saved. And I was curious about that. I heard some kids on Christian radio as I was riding in my grandmother's car. I was thankful that she was listening to Christian radio. This group of children were singing the Bible verse that goes that says this, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And I remember the convicting power of the Holy Spirit on me as a child, that I realized I was dirty, that I was a sinner. I went home, I asked Mom, "Mom, I think I need to be saved. I'm a sinner." She took the Bible and explained to me that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, that if I'd pray and ask Him, receive Him by faith, He'd come into my heart and forgive my sins and be my Savior. As a child, I prayed and received Christ by faith as Savior. That is a Bethel moment. I prayed and God heard my prayer and He changed me from the inside out. Old things passed away. All things become new. I was a new creature in Christ. It was Bethel. I realized that God in heaven would hear my prayers. Just a kid in Chilhowee, Virginia. It's wonderful. That's what happened to Jacob. The Bible says he dreamed, verse number 12, "And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac." What happened? I love this ladder. But Jacob has peeled his head on a stone. And God gives him a vision of a ladder. By the way, folks, that ladder is a picture of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is like a ladder that we can, from earth, we can pray to God through Christ, our great intercessor. The Bible says he saw a ladder and the angels of God were ascending and descending. The angels were taking his prayers to God and sending back the answer. He realized that God was not just the God of Abraham and Isaac, his father and grandfather. But he realized at Bethel that God was his God, and God would hear and answer his prayers. And God speaks to Jacob from heaven and says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac." How many of you remember a Bethel moment in your life when you realized that God was your God? He was your Savior. Oh, isn't it great to be saved? Hallelujah. I'm saved. I love it. I'm thankful. I don't deserve it, but I'm saved. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm one of His children. I'm adopted into the family. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saved. And if you're saved, you know what I mean. It's wonderful to be saved. Bethel. I remember that Bethel moment when I realized that God was not just Papa's God, but He was mine. He was my Savior. That He would hear and answer my prayers. Jacob had a moment like that. He realized that Bethel was the place of prayer to God. Look at the second thing. At Bethel, Jacob realized that that was the place of promise from God. Look what the Bible says in the second part of verse 13. God speaking, the Bible says, "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." I remember as a teenager, I was saved. And I was beginning to hear about the gospel, and I began to realize something. If the Bible's true, and it is, the wages of sin is death. And that death is eternal separation from God in a place called hell forever. And I began to realize that people I know and love that hadn't put their faith and trust in Christ, if they didn't get saved, they would go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches, and the Bible's true. And I remember as a teenager thinking, if that's true, and it is, the most important thing that I could ever do is to give my life to serve God. If that's true, the most important thing I could ever do is tell people about Jesus. If that's true, the most important thing that any of us could do is live for Christ. I also remembered realizing that life was difficult. It was truly difficult. But God had promised to be with me. Anytime God wanted to encourage somebody in the Bible, you know what He says? I'm with you. I'm with you. Man, what a glorious truth that I don't ever go anywhere that God's not with me. You find yourself at the loneliest time in life, just remember God is with you. God speaking to Jacob in this passage of Scripture, He says, I'm with you. He says in verse 15, and will keep thee. He says, I'll keep you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you. He says in verse 15, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. He says, and I will not leave you until I've done everything I promised you. You know what Jacob learned at Bethel? God is a promise-keeping God. God is a God that will help me, and He will fulfill me, and He'll give me what I need, and I can't live and I can't survive without Him. I remember those Bethel moments in my life, some of them at church camp, some of them in the auditorium of Chilhowee Baptist Church, later some of them at Temple Baptist Church, later some of them at Boiling Springs Baptist Church, other times in private places between me and God, where I understood that God was faithful and God could be trusted, and I needed Him. I love Bethel. Bethel's a place where you learn that God keeps His promises. Bethel's a place that you learn that God loves you. Bethel's a place that God teaches you that you can trust Him and you need to trust Him. How many of you have Bethels like that? A Bethel is a place where you realize that God hears and answers your prayers. A Bethel is a place where you realize that God has promised to be your God and help you. Bethel is a place for Jacob and a place for us where we promise to God. It's not just a place where God promises to help us. It's not just a place of promise from God. It's a place of promise to God. Now, when Jacob realized how wonderful God is, how wonderful this Jehovah God, his God is, how much he needs him, he does the natural thing. He commits his life to serving God. The Bible says in verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this place that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. What's Jacob do? He says, God's wonderful. And God is a God of promise, and if God's a God of promise, and He's my God, and He'll hear and answer my prayers, he says, then I'm going to commit myself to the Lord. The Bible says that Jacob vowed a vow to the Lord. It was that moment in his life where he said, you know what? I'll serve you. I'll serve you. God had been working in my heart. We're having a team meeting over in the tent over here in the empty lot where the Apple Festival is. Had a preacher coming every night, and God was stirring in my heart as a teenager. I was working on the farm during the day and going to the tent meeting at night. And God had been dealing with me for some time about preaching. And I remember I'd gone to work that day. I was by myself. I'd pulled my uncle's truck up to the edge of a tobacco patch, and I was hoeing the tobacco out, and I was listening to Christian radio during the day, and God was using what was going on the radio to help me and what was going on at the tent meeting to help me. And I pulled the truck up and turned the radio on, and I went to hoeing tobacco. And early in that afternoon, I remember just as plain as day, God smote my heart. Made it clear to me that I should be a preacher. I'm like, Lord, I can't be a preacher. God called me to preach. And I remember kneeling in that dirt and saying, Lord, if you want me to be a preacher, I'll be a preacher. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. Because I knew God heard and answered my prayers. I knew God was faithful and that God was what I needed and that God was what everybody I love needed. And if God wanted me to be a preacher, I promised Him I'd preach and I'd live for Him. And soon I began to preach. It's a Bethel moment. Now, your Bethel moment doesn't have to look just like my Bethel moment. But that moment when you realize that God is all He says He is, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to be, if you'll let me, Lord, I'll be used for your honor and your glory. That's what happened to Jacob at Bethel. It's a wonderful moment. If you've ever had a Bethel experience, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Isn't Bethel wonderful?
Yes.
Now, I wish I could say, like the storybook about Jacob's life, that they all died happily in the end and they lived happily ever after. That's what I'm looking for. But you can't. You know what happened to Jacob? Jacob did like a lot of us. Bethel came and Bethel went. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey. God had a plan. The Bible says Jacob went on his journey. Jacob went on his, not God's journey, Jacob went on his journey. And it looks something like this. Jacob met up with the biggest con artist he ever met when he met his uncle Laban. He goes down toward Haran that next day, having vowed his vow to God. He turns his back on what God had called him to do. And he goes to Haran. And in Haran, he meets Laban. And he meets this beautiful girl named Rachel. He falls madly in love with her. Laban says, "You can have her if you'll work for me for 7 years." His love was so great for Rachel, the Bible says that those 7 years just went by like a lightning. It was so fast. Laban pulled a dirty trick on him. I don't know how all this happened, but I believe it's true because the Bible says it. Laban slipped Leah in. Rachel was beautiful. Leah, the Bible says, was tender-eyed. I don't know exactly what that means, but it makes a great mental picture. I see her. He slipped Leah in. Jacob accidentally married Leah. Gets up the next day and he's like, "You have made a terrible mistake, Uncle Laban." He said, "You made a terrible mistake." He said, "Nah, I couldn't let my younger daughter marry for my older daughter." He says, "Well, what do I have to do for Rachel?" 7 more years. He and Rachel get married right after he and Leah get married, and Jacob indentures himself for the next 7 years. For 7 years he works. During those 7 years, Leah has a bunch of kids. Bilhah, Zilpah, the handmaids of Leah and Rachel, have a number of children by Jacob. Then Rachel has a baby, Joseph. And what do you need if you have 4 wives and a whole bunch of kids? What do you need? A lot of money. A lot of money. So for the next number of years, Jacob, as a free man, works and builds herds and builds wealth and builds riches. And finally, he says, "I've had enough of being under my father-in-law's thumb. I'm getting out of here." There's a lot of ups and downs in the story, but he leaves Haran, faces Esau. That goes pretty good. Begins to make his way back to the land of promise where he should be and where he should have been all along. And something terrible happens in the family. Leah had had a daughter. Her name was Dinah. Dinah had been out and about one day, and the way things were, there were families and little nations of people, hundreds, sometimes thousands, but normally hundreds, 100 people in a family, in a group. There was a group of these people called the Shechemites. And their prince, their young prince, his name was literally Shechem. Shechem was very attracted to Dinah. Very foolishly and wrong, Shechem raped Dinah. Oh, this made everyone so mad. It made Shechem's family mad. It made Jacob's family mad, especially two of the brothers. It's made them terribly angry, and rightfully so. So they have a meeting. The Shechemites and the Israelites, they have a meeting. And they say, what can we do to make this right? Two of Dinah's brothers, Jacob's sons, come up with a plan. They say, I'll tell you what, if the men of Shechem will be circumcised, then we will let your families marry our families. And we'll let that us, all of us, become one. But the one stipulation was that every man among the Shechemites would be circumcised. 3 days after the circumcision, two of Dinah's brothers, two of Jacob's sons, one Simeon, I can't remember the other one, two sons, the third day after all of Shechem, all the men of Shechem had been circumcised, they gathered some help, they took their swords and went into Shechem when these men were so sore and unable to fight and defend themselves, and they slew the entire city, all the men. The way things worked at this time, your family group lived here and another family group lived here. They were called nations. And at this moment, Jacob's family was not great big. There was a number of them, but they weren't great big. It was a new family. They just moved away from Haran. And Jacob, when he realizes what his boys had done, he calls them into his presence. He says, boys, you have caused my name to stink around here. And Jacob knew that this group would gather with this group and they would form great alliances because of the treachery of what these of the two boys had done. And that all those people would come together and no doubt annihilate all of Jacob's family. And Jacob is wringing his hands and he's wondering, what in the world do I do? What in the world? Man, this is terrible. This is a difficult moment. What do I do? Our life is in jeopardy. Where do I turn? Jacob says, I need to ask God. I need to ask God. 20 plus years ago, he'd met God at Bethel. He says, I need to ask God, if you'll take your Bibles and turn a few pages over to Genesis chapter number 35. Verse number 1. I need to ask God. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 35, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to, what's the next word? Bethel. Go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. After all that time, and the complexity of the situation, when Jacob asked God what to do, what did Jacob get the answer from heaven? What was the answer? Go back to Bethel. Go back to that moment where you realized that Jesus was your Savior. Go back to that moment when you understood that you could talk to God Himself. Go back to that moment when you understood that God has promised to keep you and help you, and God will fulfill your life, and God is what you need. Go back to that moment where you said, Lord, if that's who you are, then I'll serve you with my life. It's amazing to me. You can walk away from God for years and years, and turn around and say, Lord, please forgive me. And He'll meet you right there. Amen. What's God want us to do? You say, boy, I've wasted a lot of years. Boy, I've messed up. Boy, I've got a mess. I'll tell you what God wants. God wants you to go back to Bethel.
Amen.
God wants you to go back to the basics, back to the foundation, back to the truth, back to the time where you realized that it was God that you needed. Go back to the moment when you got saved and ask God to give you revival again in your heart. Live for Jesus. Go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. You see, it's after Jacob goes back to Bethel. Everything's not perfect from that point forward, but it won't be long until his name's Israel. It won't be long until God's blessing his family and God's using him. Little Joseph goes off to Egypt, spares the family. And God has this great nation and keeps his promises like he always does. All I have to say is, if you found yourself in a season of life where you've stepped away from Bethel, God's word to you tonight is this, simply, go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel.